We've got Giants baseball coming up today. It is Chris Stratton on the hill, Mississippi State. He's 5-3 on the year with a 4.92 earned run average, and he goes against a tough lefty, Jose Quintana. We remember him from the WBC. Out of Columbia, 62-60 lifetime, also 5-3 with a 4.47 earned run average. We bring in the voice of the Chicago Cubs, and that is Pat Hughes. Pat, how are you today?
Marty, I'm fine. It's very warm back here in Chicago. We spent most of April and a good part of May taking overcoats and sweaters and top coats and leather jackets to the park because it was so cold and so wet. But overnight, it's gone from winter to summer here in the Midwest. It's about 88 degrees tonight.
Wow, it looked like a beautiful day yesterday. It looked like the vines are growing in and the fans are out in the bleachers. There's something special, isn't there, Pat, about Cubs baseball and Wrigley Field? What can we say? It goes back almost over 100 years.
And it's an amazing atmosphere. A ballpark either has it or doesn't. I love the park in San Francisco. That's got a tremendous amount of atmosphere as well. The park is always sold out, and the Giants have been so good here for most of the decade. But yes, Wrigley Field is one of those special parks. It's part of the neighborhood. It's part of the city. It's part of the culture, really, in this area. And it's a great place to call your office, and I've been lucky enough to call it my working place for 23 years.
Wow, Pat Hughes is with us. Pat, you're connected to the Bay Area. Always like to tell the fans about your roots out here.
I grew up in San Jose and went to Branham High School in San Jose and went to San Jose State and began my professional career there covering the San Jose Missions. And I miss a lot of things about the Bay Area, mainly, I think, the weather and all the great people.
All right, Pat Hughes is with us. Pat, Chicago baseball, a little bit more about Chicago baseball, because I look at the fans, and they've won a World Series now. It took a while, but they did get the World Series, and they still have that look. They're still hungry. I look at the bleachers. I look at 41,000 yesterday. The city of Chicago is one of those cities that loves baseball, and you could see it in the fans.
I think so many people, Marty, waited for so long for that first World Championship, and it was amazingly exciting 2 years ago, and it was really the thrill of a lifetime. And I know personally it was one of the best moments that I've ever had, not only just in my career but in my life, for the Cubs to finally win after 108 years of not winning a championship. It was incredible. And then Game 7 against the Indians was one of the most amazing ball games back and forth that you could ever possibly imagine. I remember the rally and the parade after, and I know the Giants and their fans have had those three times here since 2010, so I'm not speaking about anything that's uncommon in the Bay Area, but the rally and the parade here was truly remarkable. The media reports were that 5 million people attended the parade, and the next day in the paper they said that was the seventh highest attended event in human history. And some of the other events, you had to go back to the days of Mecca and pilgrimages over in the Middle East, and it was just an amazing thing. It was like Woodstock times 10 regarding the number of people at that rally, and I got the opportunity to be the master of ceremony. It was a great experience, and one I will cherish for the rest of my life. But the fans, I think, also the Giants fans can relate to this. Once you do finally win a World Championship, that establishes a new bar, a new level, a new expectation. And until you get back there, I think there's that anxiety. And you also want the team to prove that they can do it again. And it was not just a fluke. And I think great teams always want to win more than one to prove that it really was a great team at that time. And it's basically the same cast of characters now that were here 2 years ago. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, Javier Baez and Addison Russell and Ben Zobrist and Kyle Hendricks and John Lester. Jake Arrieta no longer is here, but the core is still intact. So, yes, I think the fans rejoiced and had an incredibly exciting experience 2 years ago, but I think they all want to get back to the postseason and back to that World Series ASAP.
Boy, there's nothing like it. Pat Hughes joins us. Pat, let's talk about the ball club. You're in a tough division, as bad as that Central is in the American League. That's how good the National League is. You've seen the Brewers. The Cubs have probably saved a little bit of the season by handling the Brewers. What about this division?
It's strong, Marty, and I think once the schedule gets to the point where you're playing a lot of games within the division, that's when the champion will be determined ultimately. I think generally when it's a division with, say, two or three really good teams, or even four like we have now with the Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, and Pirates, I think it's that record within the division, who has the best record many times, will win the division. So it remains to be seen. We're only about a third of the way through. You know that not all four teams are going to be there all the way through. One or probably two will fall by the wayside, but obviously the Cubs feel like they're going to be one of those teams that are right there at the end. The Cubs have won two straight division titles. They've made the playoffs three straight times. They've played in three straight National League Championship Series. So, yes, the Cubs feel confident. They have a great team, and I think the Cubs have been plagued by a little bit of inconsistency so far. You mentioned Jose Quintana pitching tonight. When he's good, Marty, he's as good as anybody. He's pitched two shutout games against Milwaukee already, one of, I think, seven innings, the other of eight. He pitched shutout ball against Cincinnati last Saturday night in the back end of a day-night twin bill. But he's also had games where he's given up six or seven runs in two and a third innings. So you gave his ERA a moment ago. He's at 4.5, and that includes three ball games where he did not give up a single run. So you can imagine how difficult some of the other games have been. Anthony Rizzo is hitting in the low 200s. If you followed Anthony in his career, you know he's more like a 280 hitter. He's driving in runs, but he has not hit his stride yet. Addison Russell, who 2 years ago during the World Series season drove in 95 and had, I believe, 21 home runs, is stuck right now on one homer and I think 11 RBIs for the year. So those are just some examples of guys who have not yet found their groove for this 2018 season.
You know, Pat, I saw in spring training, love seeing those games over there at the new ballpark. Schwarber, with the new body, looks so good. Ian Happ, the night I saw him, hit a home run right away to start the game. How about those two?
I'm big on both of them. Ian Happ's a switch hitter. Kyle's a left-handed batter. They both have tremendous power. They're both excellent athletes. Kyle Schwarber was an all-state linebacker in high school in Ohio football. He can hit a ball a long way. I was there in the locker room one day when Tim McCarver came up to him and said, "Young man, you may have the quickest hands of any left-handed batter I've seen since Billy Williams came up in about 1960. So that covers a lot of territory. Ian Happ is a switch hitter. He's a dynamic ball player, has a lot of power from both sides. He can run like the wind. He can play infield and outfield. I think it's just a matter of time before he is a middle-of-the-lineup hitter. But he's a young guy, and he still has to make some adjustments. He chases a few too many pitches out of the strike zone, but he has pure talent, and I'm sure that he's going to be a star someday.
Pat, you have a great project, the Baseball Voices. You've done such a good turn for the game and for the beautiful voices of the game. Tell us about it.
Well, it's commemorative audio tributes to baseball's greatest announcers, and in the Bay Area, the one that I had great pleasure producing and writing and narrating was the one on Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons, and that came out about 4 years ago. It's available at baseballvoices.com, but just hearing their voices, and I grew up as a child in San Jose in the 1960s when the Giants were good every single year, and they had that team full of stars with Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and Orlando Cepeda and Juan Marichal and Gaylord Perry, and they had Philippe Alou for a while and Jim Ray Hart. But just hearing the voices of Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons today will immediately take you back to when you were 10 or 12 or 20 years old or whatever at that time. It's almost like hearing a song from a certain period in your life. You hear the song and immediately you're back in high school or you're back in college or you're thinking about somebody you were with at that time. I think it's very similar hearing the baseball announcer's voice. But we devoted a whole track to the Giants of 1962 when they won the pennant, and of course that remarkable playoff against the Dodgers where the Giants scored four in the ninth inning to turn the tables on the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Lots of great highlights, lots of great home runs, Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons. And I tell people that baseball is a lot about memories. And these CDs that I've produced, Marty, they are memories of your favorite players, your favorite teams, your favorite plays and events, your favorite announcers, but it's also a memory of you, of yourself at that time. And that might be the most special memory of all.
I love it. I love it. Absolutely. It's interesting. We do a greatest game in Giants franchise history every Sunday. And the one I picked out for this weekend is again Giants Cubs, May of 1961. Giants win 14-1. Homers by Philippe Alou. Cepeda hits a couple, drives in five, and they knock out Dick Ellsworth in the first inning. He doesn't retire anybody. And maybe some of your thoughts about those early 61 Cub teams and Giant teams.
Well, first of all, that game sounds like a real nail biter, 14-1.
Right.
But no, that's an example. The Giants were a powerhouse at that time, and of course the Cubs were struggling. That probably would have been in the ill-fated era of the College of Coaches system that the Cubs had, where they had a rotational manager leading the ball club for periods of time, and they kind of changed very rapidly. But the Cubs did struggle at that time. The Giants were a powerhouse. I tell people, thinking of those two teams, Marty, here's something that's kind of interesting. If you saw a Cubs-Giants doubleheader, say, around 1962, you could have seen, in one day, imagine this, nine Hall of Fame ballplayers, nine future Hall of Famers in the one day. That's if the pitching rotations worked out just right, so that Marichal and Perry would start each end of the doubleheader. You had Mays, McCovey, and Cepeda for the Giants. The Cubbies would have Fergie Jenkins pitching one of the games. They would have Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, and Billy Williams.
Wow.
Imagine that. Nine Hall of Famers in one day, either at Wrigley or Candlestick in the 1960s.
Beautiful. Great. Baseball Voices, absolutely terrific. BaseballVoices.com. One last thing for you, Pat, before we go. Tomorrow we see Yu Darvish. Give us a little scouting report on what to expect from Yu Darvish tomorrow.
He finally got his first win. It took him about seven starts, Marty, last Sunday afternoon. It was against the Reds. It was a hot day. He struggled through the first inning. He was throwing a lot of pitches, you know, curveballs, bouncing them in the dirt, and had no command of the breaking stuff. But then all of a sudden, it was like a light switch. He just started relying on the fastball, threw about 80% fastballs. And if you've seen him live, he has a tremendous arm. He throws in the mid-90s. The ball is moving. It gets on the hitters very quickly, and he pitched about six dominant innings in Cincinnati. Now, the Reds are not a great team, but they have a very good offensive team. And to shut that team down on a hitter's day in their park, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment. So he's coming off that game, and it took a while, but he was a big-name free agent, big-money free agent. I think sometimes those guys struggle in their first year in the new deal with the new team and a new city. I think part of it is just trying to live up to the expectation after signing the gigantic contract. And I think players put a little too much pressure on themselves. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. But he did pitch very well his last outing, but he did struggle in about his first five or six starts.
Well, Pat, love having you on. Thank you so much. And we'll catch up with you. And it's Giants-Cubs coming up. Pat, thank you again.
Marty, I'm just getting started. What do you want to talk about in our second hour?
Really? We could do it. You know that.
You're welcome, Marty. Always nice to be with you.
All right. That is Pat Hughes, the voice of the Chicago Cubs. More coming up right after this.